around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
The following message is brought to you by the American Telephone and Telegraph Company.
So long.
Have a nice trip.
Don't forget to phone.
When you're away from home this summer, put long distance to work. Most people do. Like this couple.
Smell that mountain air. I'm so glad we telephoned ahead for reservations, George, aren't you?
Sure. Sure, dear.
Oh, George, now you're not worrying about business.
Well, I...
Why not call the office, then? Get it off your mind so you can enjoy yourself.
No doubt about it. Long distance helps you have a carefree vacation. Call now, while long distance rates are lowest. Remember, whenever, wherever you go this summer, go first by long distance.
Good morning, Matt.
Hello, Doc.
Hey, you had breakfast yet?
I'm waiting for Chester to get back from the depot. Somebody told him there was a telegram down there for me.
There was a telegram? Uh-oh. You should have left it there, Matt.
No?
A telegram usually means somebody's coming to Dodge looking for you, or that you've got to go somewhere and look for them. Either way, it spells trouble.
Well, if it wasn't for trouble, Doc, I wouldn't have a job.
Well, then you ought to quit. It's a poor thing when a man has to make a living off of other people's troubles.
Uh-huh. Tell me something, Doc. How long has it been since anybody came up to you and told you how good they were feeling?
Yeah. See, now, I hadn't thought about that. I guess we are pretty much alike after all, man.
Uh-oh. Well, Doc.
Yeah, Chester.
Well, I got it, Mr. Dillon.
What are you looking so glum about, Chester? What does it say?
You better read it yourself. It's a kindly private line.
Huh? U.S. Marshal, Dodge City, Kansas. Coming to get married. Noon train. Saturday. Meet me. Signed, Mavis McLeod.
Oh. Mavis McLeod, huh? Oh, that's a right pretty name, Matt. She pretty, too?
Mr. Dillon, you really gonna get married?
Oh, you're pretty foxy, Matt, keeping this so quiet.
Now, wait a minute, you two. If you're all through talking, I'll tell you something.
Oh, now, quiet now, Chester. Don't seem to be there. This is an important moment.
Well, I'm listening.
All right. Now, this may be kind of a shock to you, but... Well, as my two closest friends, I wanted you to be the first to know.
Yeah, Mr. Dillon, yeah?
Doc?
Yeah.
Chester?
Yeah.
I'm not about to get married, and what's more, I never heard of any Mavis McLeod.
Well, but she still might be pretty.
I don't care if she looks like Lily Langtree.
But Mr. Dillon, ain't you even going to meet her?
Yeah, I'm going to meet her, but right now, let's go get some breakfast and talk about something else.
Look at there, Mr. Dillon. Straight up noon, and there comes the old train right on time.
Yeah?
I mean, it's troubling you, ain't it?
No, Chester. I think trains should run on time.
Yeah, sure, that's what I mean. Hey, look. Looky there. Miss Kitty going into the depot there, see?
Chester.
Mr. Dillon, I swear I never said a word to her about this. She's probably expecting some mail or packages or something. Anyway, she never seen us. Say, how are we going to tell Mavis McCloud from anybody else?
I don't know.
Look, there's a girl. Would that be her, do you think? Would that be her?
Chester, I told you I never even heard of her. How would I know what she looks like?
Well, that little girl's right pretty, Mr. Dillon. And she's the only female lady there.
Okay, let's go ask her then.
I'd judge her to be about 18, wouldn't you?
Yeah, about that.
You say she's pretty, mine. She is pretty, isn't she?
Excuse me, miss.
Yes?
I'm Matt Dillon.
Oh, well, maybe you can help me.
Well, maybe.
I'm looking for the U.S. Marshal here. Do you know him?
Well, I'm the marshal, ma'am.
Oh, you are? Then you got my telegram.
I did. Well, that's right. You didn't have my name on it, did you?
Of course not. How would I know your name? Oh, my goodness. Well, you didn't think I was coming to marry you, did you?
Whoa.
Oh, how awful. I mean, how awful for you.
I'm still a little confused. This is Chester Prout. Mavis McCloud.
How do you do, Chester?
Well, I'm proud to know you, ma'am. Miss.
I'm so sorry, Marshal Dillon. I guess I should have explained more in the telegram.
Oh, that's all right. Who did you come here to marry?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, not yet. I just got here. You two are the only men I've met.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go over to the depot there and see if you can find Kitty, will you?
Yes, sir. I sure will.
Mavis, how old are you?
I'll be 19 in December.
No? Where are you from?
I won't tell you.
Well, why not?
Because it isn't polite for a gentleman to ask a lady so many personal questions.
All right. Well, why did you send me that telegram?
Well, because I thought I'd be safe with the marshal helping me.
Well, helping you do what?
Get married. Oh, don't look like that. I'm not crazy. They need women out here, don't they? Well, don't they?
They need them.
And I'll make a good wife, too. But, of course, it'll have to be the right man, Marshal. I won't marry just anybody, you know. And you can stop shaking your head like that.
John, I found her.
Hello, Matt.
Kitty, this is Mavis McCloud.
Hello, Mavis. Welcome to Dodge.
Oh, well, thank you, Kitty.
Kitty.
I know Matt. Chester told me all about it. Don't mind the marshal, Mavis. Sometimes he's a little slow to understand these things.
He most certainly is. Why, he's been looking at me as though I were a bug of some kind.
Kitty, you take care of her, will you? I'll go try to figure something out.
Yeah, she'll be okay.
And, Kitty, don't...
Don't worry. I won't take her to the Long Branch.
Okay. You let me know if you need anything, Mavis. Besides the husband, I mean.
Everywhere you go, across the country trip or across the street party, you carry the fun with you when you own a Columbia Stereophonic High Fidelity Phonograph. There's a marvelous selection of 7 new portable models in smart new color combinations at your Columbia Phonograph dealer, from which you may choose. Each one is a masterpiece of design and beauty. More quality, more features, and more styling have been built into these sturdy portables than ever before. How much fun you'll have enjoying all the wonderful new sound of stereo records. Regular records take on new beauty, too, when played on handsome Columbia portables. You'll be amazed at the big console sound that is reproduced by Columbia Portable Stereophonic High Fidelity Phonographs. You'll thrill to the excitement of Stereo One by Columbia, number one in the wonderful world of sound. And Columbia portables are economical, too. Prices start as low as $24.95. See them and hear them at your Columbia phonograph dealer.
next few weeks, I thought and worried about Mavis a lot, but I should have known I was wasting my time. She met a young fellow called Barney Wales, and 3 days later, they got married. Kitty called it love at first sight, but anyway, I knew Barney, and he was a sober, hard-working cowboy who'd started a little spread of his own not far from Dodge. It was a good match, and it looked like they were going to make out fine. At least I thought so. Until one day when I was sitting in my office trying to keep cool.
I'm looking for Marshal Dillon.
That's him sitting right there.
Come on in, mister.
My name's Lou Staley, Marshal.
What can I do for you, Mr. Staley?
I've come a long way.
Huh?
All the way from St. Louis. I'm looking for Mavis McLeod.
Oh. Well, what do you want with her?
That's my business.
Well, that may be.
Where is she?
What makes you think I'd know?
She sent you a telegram from St. Louis. I knew she was headed out here somewhere, so I checked. Mavis isn't the kind to arrive in a place unknown.
I see.
You going to tell me where she is?
Not till I know why you want to see her.
And I'll find her myself. She's around here somewhere.
She's married, Staley.
What?
She's married. Now, why don't you go on back to St. Louis and forget about it, huh?
Who'd she marry?
What difference does it make? You're not going to bother her.
We'll see about that. In the meantime, I hold you responsible.
Okay, so you hold me responsible. Why don't we settle that right now?
I'll find her first, Marshal. And after I've killed her husband, I'll come looking for you.
Well, now there's about the bloodthirstiest man I ever did see. I declare he's going to kill everybody.
He might try it, Chester. I think I better ride out and talk to Barney Wales.
Oh, sure, not today, you ain't.
What?
Well, Barney and Mavis is in town today. I seen them over at the Dodge house this morning. They're staying the night there.
And I'll go find them there before Lou Staley does. Hello, Barney.
Marshal Dillon. Well, come on in. Hey, Mavis, it's the Marshal.
Hello, Marshal.
How are you, Mavis?
Oh, I'm fine. I mean, we're fine. Aren't we, Barney?
We sure are. You got to ride out and have dinner with us some Sunday, Marshal. Mavis here is the best doggone cook you ever saw.
Well, it'd be strange if a girl from St. Louis couldn't cook.
Why'd you say that, Marshal?
Mavis ain't from St. Louis. At least why she never told me she was.
Well, it doesn't matter where I'm from, does it, Barney?
Of course not. But how'd the Marshal know?
There's only one way. Lou told him.
Lou?
Yes, Lou Staley.
Well, who's he, Marshal?
I don't know, Barney, but he says he's going to kill you.
What?
For marrying Mavis.
I see. He loves you, too. Is that it?
No. No, not exactly.
Well, what then?
I made up the name McLeod, Barney. My real name's Staley.
There's only one thing I want to know, Mavis.
Yes?
You love him?
I hate him.
Okay. Let him come, Marshal. I'll fight him.
No. You go out to your ranch. I'll take care of Staley.
I never run from a fight in my life, and I don't aim to start now.
Oh, please, Barney.
It's no use arguing. If this Staley's looking for me, he can find me. I'll go about my business like always, but I'll sure keep one eye open.
Thank you.
Hello, Kitty. Well, I was in here with Chester earlier.
Huh?
Where were you?
Oh, I took a walk after supper. Anything to get out of this saloon for a while. What did you want me for?
Kitty.
Yeah?
That man over there at the bar, the tall, dude-looking fella, you see him?
Who is he?
Well, his name's Lou Staley. Did you ever hear of him?
No.
I thought maybe Mavis McLeod might have said something about him.
She's never mentioned him, but I've hardly seen her since she got married. What's it about?
Well, Staley's kind of disappointed over Mavis getting married. Said he's going to kill Barney and then me and I don't know who all.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
He followed her out here from St. Louis.
So that's it. Jealous lover.
No. Mavis' real name is Staley.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I guess Mavis kind of fooled all of us. I can understand Staley wanting to kill Barney.
Well, it's not my business how Mavis messes up her life or anybody else's, but murder's wrong, Kitty, no matter what the cause, it's wrong.
Matt, look.
Yeah, I see her.
She's seen us, too.
Hello, Marshal.
Kitty.
Why don't you sit down, Mavis?
You shouldn't be in here, Mavis.
I know, Kitty, but I had to come.
Where's Barney?
He's talking business with some cattle buyers over at the Dodge House. He doesn't know I'm here.
This is no place for you, you know.
Well, it's good enough for Kitty, isn't it?
Well, I own the place. I explained all that to you.
Well, I didn't come here for fun. I ran into Chester out in the plaza, and he told me I'd find Lou Staley here. I've got to talk to him. It probably won't do any good, but I've got to try.
Well, he's over there at the bar.
I know, I saw him. But I didn't dare walk up to the bar, and not with all those men watching.
Okay, Mavis, I'll get him. No, I guess I won't have to.
I knew I'd find you sooner or later, Mavis.
I want to talk to you, Lou.
It's too late for talk. I told you what I'd do, and I'm going to do it.
Lou, I want to talk to you alone.
You can go out back, Mavis. Door's right over there. Nobody will bother you outside.
Come on, Lou.
Won't do any good, Mavis. You know it won't.
I don't like this, Kitty.
Why not? Talking's better than fighting, isn't it?
Talking isn't going to stop him. Now, there's something wrong about him. Sort of like he can't hear or see anything but himself. Like he's all alone in the world.
Well, any man in love acts like that, Matt.
Well, maybe, but if I didn't think he'd just keep coming back, I'd tie him up and throw him on a train for back east.
Well, I wish you'd do something. Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, look, it's Mavis.
Mavis? Mavis.
Did he kill her?
No, she's still alive.
Well, you go after Staley, Matt. I'll take care of her.
I'll get Staley, Kitty. And I'm going to carry Mavis over to Doc's first. Yeah, you better come along.
Remember how much racket automobiles used to make? Time was you practically had to bellow to make yourself heard above the chatter and roar of the engine, the howl of the wind rushing by, and the rattling a rough road gave your poor old buggy and brains. Nowadays, with vastly improved automotive engineering and magnificent new superhighways, you literally purr along the road. This is a vast improvement, but one that can offer danger if you're not alert. You're sitting behind the wheel with the miles of the highway unrolling smoothly before you. Suddenly, a sharp curve jumps in front of you, and you find you have to use the skill of a professional racer to navigate the curve without getting into real big trouble. Your car was so quiet that your speed had crept up stealthily during the long miles of straightaway. You were burning along without realizing it. The point here, a simple one, is this. Your speedometer was put there for a purpose you can't afford to forget. Keep alert. Take care. and get there.
I declare, Mr. Dillon, that's the worst thing I ever heard of, shooting a lady.
Doc says she's got a fair chance, Chester.
You're going to tell Barney about it and then go after Lou Staley, huh?
I'm going to do more than that.
You are? What?
You'll see.
Yeah, I hope Barney's still here at the Dodge House.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Maybe that's him standing over there. I know that one fella. He's a cattle buyer.
Oh, there's Barney with his back to us here.
Look, any steer that walked up here from Texas is tougher than a mule, and you know it. I got better beef than that, but you're going to have to pay for it.
Barney.
Pay that price.
Hello, gentlemen.
What are you doing here, Marshal? Something wrong?
Yeah, Barney, there's something wrong.
Well, what is it? Tell me. Where's Mavis?
Now, wait a minute, Barney. Look, do you trust me?
Well, sure I do, Marshal. Of course, why shouldn't I?
Well, there's no reason, but I just want you to think about it when you wake up. Oh! All right, shut up! Don't interfere in something you don't know anything about. Chester.
Yes, sir.
Go get a rope and tie him up. But fix it so he can walk. When he comes to, take him to jail.
But I don't know
what... Do it.
Okay, sir.
I warned the cattle buyers there not to say a word to anybody about Barney, and then I went out looking for Lou Staley. I tried every saloon and gambling house in Dodge, and I finally gave up. Went over to the jail and got Chester. It was past midnight when we entered the Dodge House once more. Had a talk with a clerk and went up to Barney and Mavis' room.
You reckon Staley's running off, Mr. Dillon?
No, he won't run till he does what he came here to do. Okay, inside, Chester. You stand over there, Chester, so you'll be behind the door when it opens.
Staley's sure going to be surprised if he does come here, ain't he?
Unless that clerk downstairs bungles it.
On my land, all he's got to do is say, Barney come in a while ago and went upstairs.
Well, it sounds easy, Chester, but he might get scared and say anything.
Well, what's he to be scared of a man who goes around shooting women?
The clerk doesn't know about that, Chester. Besides, Staley may be crazy, but he's armed and he's dangerous.
Yes, I guess you're right. Say, Barney got real wild when he come to and found himself all tied up. I had a terrible time.
Shh.
Him with...
Quiet, Chester.
Reckon it's him.
All right, Barney, you coward. Where are you?
Hold it right there, Staley.
No.
That's Doc's office at the top of the stairs, Barney.
He says Mavis is going to be okay, huh?
She's doing fine. Here we are.
Wait a minute, Marshal.
Yeah?
About last night, I'd have found Lou Staley somehow, and I killed him any way I could, Marshal.
It might have been murder, Barney.
Yeah. I guess this is the first time I ever thanked a man for knocking me out. Let's go on in now.
Hello, Matt. Barney?
Where's Mavis, Doc?
Well, she's in the back room there. Well, except for a little fever, she's coming along fine, Barney, just fine. Of course, she'll have to stay quiet for a few days. You can't be moving around.
Can I see her now, Doc?
Sure, you go ahead. Matt, Mavis told me about the shooting. You know what happened?
What, Doc?
She tried to take Staley's gun away from him, that's what. They were fighting over it, and it went off. He didn't try to kill her at all.
You know, it's funny about Staley.
What?
Most men would have tried to kill a wife that ran off and married somebody else.
A wife?
Yeah.
Is that so much? Oh, you don't mean. And Mavis seems like such a nice girl.
Well, you never know, Doc.
Marshal Dillon?
Yeah.
Mavis would like to see you.
Okay.
Hello, Marshal.
Mavis.
There's something I want to tell you, Marshal.
Okay.
Barney already knows. I told him yesterday after you left.
Go on.
Well, it's about Lou. I know what you'd think. But I've known him all my life, Marshal. And Lou was crazy. There was something wrong with him. I guess I was ashamed of it, or I'd have told everybody sooner. Especially Barney.
You're not responsible for his being crazy.
No, no, wait. Lou always did say he'd kill any man I married. That's why I ran away.
Mavis, you were asking an awful lot of a husband, crazy or not.
Marshal, Lou Staley wasn't my husband. He was my brother.
What? You know, Mavis, you've been nothing but trouble to me ever since I got that telegram. And I don't ever want to see you again. Unless it's across your dining room table some Sunday.
I have news of a product so new, it's amazing it's here today at all. It's new Kaysite Smooth Seal.
You say it's new?
You say it's new?
So it's new. What does it do?
Well, it's a fluid you add to your automatic transmission. Automatic transmission. It stops the leaks in your transmission and makes it smooth and quiet.
Makes it smooth?
Makes it quiet? How can I tell if I should try it?
That's easy. Your stop, see, and you start to go, and you give it the gas pretty good. If you hear a sort of whirring or grinding noise, if you feel a jerk or jolt or jar, then your transmission just isn't up to par.
Grinding noises?
Jars and jerks. That's how my transmission works.
Boys, if that's the case, then you've got a case for new Kaysite Smooth Seal.
New Kaysite Smooth Seal? How will that help?
Well, it's made to soften those shrunken seals and smooth out the shifting when there's power on the wheels. If you heard a whirring or felt a jar when you pull away in your modern car, you are a man who needs a can. Just $1.95, and it works while you drive. Anyone here for Kaysite Smooth Seal?
Hit me.
I'm in.
If it doesn't do the job,
you get double your money back.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed in Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Barbara Eiler, Sam Edwards. Farley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story on Gunsmoke.
Latest news follows. Then Mitch Miller with tonight's guest stars on the CBS Radio Network.